All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm putting right now in the chat box the source sheet. This is my first time using a tiny.cc, so hopefully it went through. Let me know if it's not working, but I think I'm going to give a couple thumbs ups that people are able to access the source sheet. That'd be great. It's in the chat. Oh, I didn't put it in the chat box. I put it just to Rabbi Turchiner. Oh, that's also not the right thing. Let's try that one more time. tiny.cc/TIAD-RH. Try that one.
Yeah, Rav Jared, I'll take care of the link.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Rabbi Turchiner. Okay, so again, thank you so much, everyone, for coming. Just want to, Rabbi Turchiner already mentioned, but the event is dedicated in memory of Ben Lacks, Dov Ben Mordechai Zichrono Livracha, by Michael and Marsha Lacks. And this particular session is dedicated by Laser and Shana Friedman, Leilui Nishmat Malka Bat Chaim Yehoshua Zichrono Livracha. Okay, so with that, we're here to look at Rosh Hashanah in Tanakh. So we know how Rosh Hashanah is celebrated today, or next week. We know what it's going to look like, but we don't necessarily know what it looks like in Tanakh. So what I want to do today, for the next 27 minutes, maybe a little bit less, take a look at what Rosh Hashanah looked like during the time period of Tanakh. We're going to look at a passage from Sefer Nehemiah. Now, before even looking at anything, it says page not found. Okay, so let me just give the regular link. Sorry. This is another non-tiny.cc link, if that doesn't work. So I want to ask you right now, when you think Rosh Hashanah, what do you think of? You can throw it in the chat box, so you can just think in your head right now for a second. When you think Rosh Hashanah 2021, let's say, Rosh Hashanah 2020, maybe you can think pre-COVID if you want. What do you think of when you think of Rosh Hashanah? Now you can throw something in the chat box if you want. Take a second. Chaim Metzger says shofar. What else do people think about when they hear Rosh Hashanah? I think Rosh Hashanah.
Judgment Day.
You got Yom Hadin, okay. Unatana Tokef. There's the parts of tefillah. Anything else, anyone? Honey cake, okay. Okay, with these in mind, let's take a look at the first source on the page from Sefer Nehemiah. I think everyone has been able to access it by now. So let's take a look at the first source of Sefer Nehemiah. Let's just, as we're reading it, shul service is being too long. Okay, we'll keep that in mind. So source number one, Sefer Nehemiah. So right now, by the way, historically speaking, we're at the period of Shivat Zion. We've got all the people returning from Babel, returning from exile. They're now starting to build the second Beit HaMikdash, this new second commonwealth. So that's what's going on right now. The leaders of the community will say Ezra and Nehemiah. And those are two people that are going to come up over here. So here we have Vayeshvu Kohanim VaHaleviim VaShoarim HaMeshoarim Min Ha'am VaNetinim VaChol Yisrael BaAreihem. Everyone is now in the city. The Levites, the priests, the gatekeepers, the singers. Everyone's now in their city. VaYiga Chodesh HaShvi'i V'nei Yisrael BaAreihem. It's now the seventh month, counting from Nisan, right? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei. It is now the month of Tishrei. Everyone comes together to the street, the way the Safaria 1985 JPS translation has it, as they assemble in the square, but we're going to see that might not be the proper translation there. So they say, we're all here, go bring a Sefer Torah. So they go bring the Sefer Torah. Vayavi Ezra HaKohen et HaTorah lifnei HaKa'al mi'ish v'ad isha v'chol mivin lishma b'yom echad l'chodesh hashvi. They come, it's now, he brings the Sefer Torah for everyone. It is now the first day of the seventh month. We have a special name that we call the first day of the seventh month, and we call that day Rosh Hashanah. So they're all here now, it's Rosh Hashanah, and Ezra has brought out the Sefer Torah. Vayikravo lifnei harachov asher lifnei sharamayim. He reads it for everyone. Now we're going to skip a couple psukim right now. We'll come back to them in a little bit. We're not skipping them because they're not important. They're actually very important. We're just going to come back to them in a little bit. Back to pasuk tet. Vayomer Nehemia hu hatirshata v'ezra kohen asofer v'vim hamivinim et ha'am v'lachol ha'am. So they're telling all the people this. Al tit ablu v'al tivku. They tell the people, do not be upset. Do not mourn. Do not cry. Ki bochim kol am. Everyone seems to have been crying there. They heard the Sefer Torah. Everyone's just bawling. And they're telling the people, don't cry. Don't be sad. Kishom am et divrei Torah. They were crying when they heard the words of the Torah. Pasuk yod vayomer lahem lechu ichlu mashmanim yishtu mamtakim. Go and eat choice foods and drink sweet drinks. Vishilchu manod le'ein nachonlo. And send portions to whoever has nothing. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu, because today is holy to our master. Va'al te'atzvu ki chedvat Hashem hi ma'uzchem. Don't be sad for rejoicing in the Lord. Lord is the source of your strength. Ve'levim machshim l'chol am le'mor hasu ki hayom kadosh va'al te'atzvu. The Levite, the Levim are still, they're stressing. Don't be upset. Don't be sad. Today's a happy day. Today's a holy day. Va'yalchu kol am le'chol lishtot u'shalach manot. They understood, they got the point, they stopped crying, they stopped mourning, they stopped fasting, whatever it is, they sent these mishloach manot, and everyone was okay. So you look at this, so one thing that someone mentioned shul service is too long. So we got that. They were going from, you know, beginning of the day until noon. So we got services went too long. But aside from that, there's no mention of shofar. There's no mention of davening. There's no mention of honey cake. Well, maybe there is the mamtaki. Maybe there is a little mention of the sweetness of the honey cake. But the things that we normally characterize Rosh Hashanah are not here. And things that we don't normally associate with Rosh Hashanah. For instance, Shloach Manot. Shloach Manot, that's a Purim thing, right? We think Shloach Manos, what are they doing here? Sending Shloach Manot. So I have three different areas that I want to explore that I think are sort of strange that they are not here or that they are here. One, why are the people crying? It's Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov, it's a holiday. Why are they crying? Number two, why are they sending Mishloach Manot? And number three, where is the shofar? So for people, if anyone who came late, we're reading right now Sefer Nehemiah, reading the description of Rosh Hashanah, and I'm noting there are three things that were not there or that were unique there. One, why are they crying on Rosh Hashanah? Two, why are they sending Mishloach Manot? It's not Purim. And number three, where is the shofar? You read the whole thing, there's no mention of the shofar. So going through those in order, why are they crying? So source number two, the Ralbag, Rabbi Levi ben Gershon. He says, he says, seems maybe it could be that they read from the place of the curses in order that they should fear God, they should fear Hashem, right? Then maybe they read yesterday's Torah reading, they read these klalot, and the people, this is the public experience of learning the Torah, and so they're, you know, Ezra chooses to read these curses, so that people could, you know, like, oh, this is a legit thing. This is a serious moment. And they start crying. They're in fear. Oh my gosh, these terrible things are going to happen to us. This is terrible. This is awful. They start bawling. So crying. Now, the challenge, I think, with Ralbag's explanation here is that we would think that's a good thing, right? If people are overwhelmed with emotion, oh my gosh, it's Yom Hadin. It's scary. It's a bad... Okay, that's good. You use that as motivation to do tshuva, to do good things. And yet here, Ezra and Nehemiah, the Levim, are telling the people, stop crying. Don't worry about it. So why? And for that, I think it's helpful to have the Malbim. Here's the Malbim, and source number three. Malbim, Rabbi Meir Leibish ben Yechiel Michal Wisser. The dates he was alive, I actually accidentally put in the chat box earlier. Passed away in 1879. So he writes, Ki bochim, why are they crying? The Yeshlamar Pirusho, Shekara lifnehem parashat hayom. He didn't read just the klalot. They read the Torah reading describing Rosh Hashanah. Evinum ki hayom hu yom hadin. And the people said, oh my gosh, today's yom hadin. This is a terrifying day. Bahu me'emat hadin. So they cried out of fear of judgment. They show up and they're, oh my gosh, they didn't even know they had a court date. They show up and then God is there judging them on this day. Oh, we weren't prepared for this. V'gam ratzu li'itanot, and they wanted to fast. V'amar lahem neged hata'anit l'chu ichlu mashmanim. And the fact that they wanted to fast, so they say, don't fast, go eat tasty foods. You want to cry? Don't cry. Don't be sad. All this is like the Ralbag, essentially. But he follows this up and he says, שישראל יש להם דין והם עושים יום טוב שבטוחים שהשם יוציא משפטם לזכות. This is what the Midrash says. There's a Midrash that states, even though for the Jewish people, for all of us, it is a Yom HaDin, it is this day where God is judging us, nonetheless, we make a Yom Tov. We sit down, we have a meal, we sing songs, we enjoy the day because we have confidence that we are going to make it through the Yom HaDin meritoriously. We're going to make it through. Okay. And this is the first aspect, I think, of Rosh Hashanah that we gain from Sefer Nehemiah, that an aspect of Rosh Hashanah is that it is indeed Yom HaDin, it is indeed the Day of Judgment, but nonetheless, we go into the day with a certain level of confidence in knowing that we can make it through this okay. Hashem is looking out for us, we are going to make it through with the confidence, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, whatever we need to do, but we're going to make it out okay. Bizchut. That's the first idea, right? That's why are they crying? What's the story with the crying? It's Yom HaDin, and the Levim say, no worries, don't cry over this. You're going to be okay. Number two, Mishloach Manot. Why are they sending Mishloach Manot? This is not Purim. Why are they sending Mishloach Manot? Oh, I'm sorry. Before we get to that, source number four. This is actually Lahalacha on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ochlim v'shutim v'smusmechim v'ein mitanim v'rash Hashanah. We actually have this Lahalacha. There is discussion among the Rishonim, some of the earlier authorities. Can you fast? Are you obligated to fast? You're not obligated to fast. But at the end of the day, the way the Halacha rules in the end of the day in the Shulchan Aruch, and that was that source, says no fasting. No fasting Rosh Hashanah, even though it's a Yom HaDin, it's a scary day. It's a serious day. But we go into it with confidence and with joy that we're going to be successful in judgment. That was that. Now, okay. Why are they sending Mishloach Manot? So Rav Sadi Gaon, source number five, he says, V'shalchu manot le'ein nachon lo. Who are they sending these to? The people that don't have. Who are the people that don't have? Le'aniim. They're sending food to the impoverished. Shelo hichinu lahem tavshil. They didn't have food to eat. This is Rosh Hashanah. This is a significant day. It's a Yom Tov. It's a Chag. And there are people who don't have food. And to them, they say, you have to send food. Now Rav Sadi Gaon says, V'chachamim omrim b'tamud le'ein nachon lo l'mi shelo iniach eruvei tavshilin. So it happens to be, technically, right? The Talmud, the Gemara, the rabbis, the sages of the Talmud do say that, oh, this is actually not people who don't have food, but it's people who forgot to do the Eruv Tavshilin. If people remember, you know, last year, I feel like we had every Yom Tov there was. They got an email from the rabbi or a text message reminder. You had to take your matzah and take the egg and a matzah, set it aside to allow you to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbat. So that's the Rav Sadi Gaon says. That's how the rabbis understand this. But Pashup Pshat, simply looking at the text here, looking at the words of Tanakh, what does Sefer Nehemiah say? Send food to people who don't have. That is the people who are poor. And this is an important, it's not Mishloach Manot, like, oh, we're going around dressed in costumes delivering things. No, this is like we do on Purim. This is Mishloach Manot. This is giving food to people who don't have. And that this is a very significant piece of Rambam, the Maimonides in source number six. He says, in Hilchot Shvitat Yom Tov, talking all about how we celebrate Yom Tov and what we do and do this, you can't do this, you have to do this. How do we celebrate? How do we achieve simcha? We have a mitzvah of Samachta Bechadecha, simcha, be happy on the holidays. So how do we achieve that? Here's what Rambam writes. He says, Ukshehu Ochel, so he says you have to, you know, have a meal, all these things, but he adds, Shehu Ochel, Beshoteh, when you eat and you drink, Chayav Ha'achil Lager, La'yatom V'la'almana, when you eat and you drink and you have your festive meal, you have to make sure that you feed the ger, the convert, the orphan, the widow, all these people who are impoverished, who are disenfranchised. You sit in your house, you lock the door. You sit here, look, I have my family here. Everyone's here. This is so great. This is so wonderful. We're here. We're singing Zmiros. It's wonderful. But you're not offering anything to anyone else. Eino ma'achil u'mashkel la'aniim u'lamari nefesh. You're not giving food or drink to the impoverished, the embittered souls. Ein zo simchat mitzvah. Don't make the mistake to think, oh, this is simcha mitzvah. I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm having a meal on Yom Tov. Rambam says, that's not simchat mitzvah. Ela simchat kreso. That is the celebration of the stomach. Val elu ne'emar zivcheihem kelechem onim lahem Kol ochlav yitamu ki lachmam lenafsham. Your sacrifices are like the bread of mourners. All who eat it are impure, for their bread is for themselves happiness. This simcha zo kazo kalon hu ilahem. It's a shame. It's a disgrace for them. As it says, I will cast waste on their faces. More than just waste. The feces, I will, on their faces, on their holidays. Hashem doesn't want that. God doesn't want us to be celebrating our Rosh Hashanah, sitting in our houses. So, okay, so COVID, maybe it's a little different. You can't necessarily have people over. So you send money to organizations to provide food. But the point is, Rambam is saying, if all we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is we're sitting in our house and we're having our own meal and we're having our own thing, yeah, that's great. We've missed the point. It's a disgrace. And that's what Sefer Nehemiah is telling us, Ezra. They're saying, you've got to go send Mishloach Manot. Don't make the mistake of thinking that Rosh Hashanah is just about me. I'm going to enjoy it. Or maybe even I'm going to just daven for myself. It's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. Yes, Simcha, you should enjoy it yourself. You should have a positive experience for yourself. But don't let it be Simchat Kreso, Mishloach Manot. We have to make sure that we send gifts, we send food to other people. So that's the second idea that comes out of Sefer Nehemiah. The first one was, why are they crying? Because it's Yom HaDin. But why do they stop crying? Because we have confidence that we're going to survive the day. Why are they sending Mishloach Manot? Because that's what you do on a holiday. On a holiday, you make sure that people who do not have the same resources that you do, we make sure that we supply for them. And now the biggest thing, you look at Sefer Nehemiah, you read this passage, you go through the whole situation of Rosh Hashanah, you've got everything, you've got all these things, you do not have shofar. Where on earth is the shofar? That was the first thing someone said. What do we associate Rosh Hashanah with? With shofar? There's no shofar. Where's the shofar? So Dr. Dov S. Zakheim wrote a book, Nehemiah, Statesman and Sage, all about Sefer Nehemiah, about the person, about the book. He writes on page 159 of his book, as with the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, there is nothing unique and nothing much to be said. Zakheim says, why is it not here? It's not here because, you know, okay, they blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. You knew they were going to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. We all knew. We know you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't notable. So he says, it's not there because it's just not, you don't need to say it. We're going to mention the things that are a chiddush. We're going to mention the things that are new, that are a big deal. Shofar in Rosh Hashanah, everyone knows you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It didn't need to be said. That's how Dr. Zakheim understands it. But I think there could be something a little bit deeper going on with the lack of shofar here. And for that, it's important to understand the background of what this event was, what Ezra was doing. According to the Gemara, the way the rabbis explain this experience of Ezra reading the Torah in front of the people, this was a major, major historical event. This was like a giving of the Torah a second time, to the point that we have on this next source. There's a Braita, source number 8, the Gemara, Sanhedrin, says, Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ra'ui haya Ezra, shitinaten Torah al yado l'Yisrael, ilmele lo kadmo Moshe. Had Moshe not beaten him, we would have been singing, you know, Torah Tzivulanu Ezra. We wouldn't have sang Torah Tzivulanu Moshe. Ezra was a lawgiver. Ezra was the one who gave the Torah. If not, okay, Moshe beat him to it. But if not for that, Ezra would have been it. The rabbis spend a lot of time talking about Ezra's establishing all different types of public Torah readings. Perhaps the alphabet that we know and love was established at this point by Ezra. This is a major historical event. This is ke'ilu. This is as if a giving of the Torah. And with that, if this is a giving of the Torah, so then let's think about that for a second. Let's think about what do we know about the giving of the Torah. So we look here on the next source, Nehemiah, with this in mind. It says, Vaikruvo lifnei harachov. We said that he's reading it from the street. So the way we initially translated it in source number 9 here, I'm giving you the verses that we skipped from above. We have here verse number 3, Vayikra bo lifnei harachov. It said that he read it in front, the way the translation initially been, the way JPS translated it, it said that it was in front of the square. So here I'm translating it really, a rachov is a street. So this Torah reading, this public event of Torah reading Ezra is in front of the street. And you read it through, so it reads in front of the street. Everyone's standing there in verse 4, Vayamod Ezra Sofer Amigdal Etz. He's standing on this elevated platform above the people. People standing next to him are Matitya, Veshema, Va'anaya, the Uriah, all these names. Someone on his left is named Pedaya. I highlighted these for a reason. We're going to come back to them. Vayiftach Ezra Sofer Leinei Kol Ha'am. Ezra opens up the Sefer Torah in front of the eyes of the whole nation. Vayivarech, verse number 6. Ezra blesses the Lord, the great God, and all the people answer, amen, amen, hands upraised. Then they bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord with their faces on the ground. And more people who are there, they explain the Torah, they explain the teaching to the people, verse number 8. And they read from the scroll of the teaching of God, translating it and giving the sense so they understood the reading. And you realize this, you look at this. So this rabbi, David Foreman, who's a rabbi in New York, so he points out, you look at this, he says, the first person standing to Ezra's right, Matitya, that's one of the names we highlighted, literally, gift given by God. What was Sinai about? It was about the Torah being given by God. I mean, reading in source number 10. Right next to him, Shema Ve'anaya, a person by the name of hearing, another known as answering. What happened at Sinai? The people heard the voice of God and they answered. Continuing on the left, there's a fellow named Pedaya, which literally means redeemed by God, which is exactly how God introduces himself at Sinai. Right? Rabbi Foreman is pointing out that throughout this passage here of just Moses reads God's truth. Yeah, it's an interesting question. We'll talk about that maybe after. Here, Rabbi Foreman is pointing out that this has all these trappings that we would think of Matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah. Another one, Ezra opened the scroll, Le'enei Kol Ha'am, in front of the whole people. That expression, Le'enei Kol Ha'am, appears one other time in Tanakh, source number 11. Let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day, the Lord will come down. Le'enei Kol Ha'am al Har Sinai. God appears at Har Sinai, Le'enei Kol Ha'am, in sight of all the people. The Tanakh is using terms that we know from Har Sinai, and it's reusing that here. And then, you know, my favorite one of all this, he's reading in front of the Rechov. You know, you mix around the letters of the word Rechov, you end up with the word Chorev, another name for Har Sinai. But what's happening here, what Sefer Nehemiah is describing here with Ezra's reading of the Torah, this is a throwback to Matan Torah. This is a throwback to the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. And with that in mind, we can now think, why was the shofar not here? So why do we blow shofar? Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So we actually, the Machzor gives us a very, very simple reason. Before that, source number 12, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Bachodesh Hashvi'i Bachad Lachodesh, on the seventh month, on the first day of the month, Yelachem Shabbaton Zichron Trua. It's a remembrance of shofar blasts. So the rabbis have this idea, they say, oh, remembrance of shofar blasts? That's an allusion in the text to the fact that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, we don't blow shofar. That's the way the rabbis explain it, but the rabbis even admit that's only just a little thing that they added on. Biblically speaking, of course you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it falls on Shabbat. They just sort of linked it in here. They said that. What is it really about? Remembrance of shofar blasts? So that shofar road, the shofar road section of the Machzor, it opens up. Atani gleita be'anan kodecha. You were revealed in your cloud of glory to your holy people to speak to them from the heavens. You let them hear your voice and you revealed yourself to them in pure clouds. So too, the entire world quivered before you and the works of creation trembled before you. And you, our king, revealed yourself upon Mount Sinai to teach your people Torah and mitzvot. You let them hear the majestic splendor of your voice and your holy words from the flames of the fire amidst thunder and lightning. You revealed yourself to them, and with the sound of the shofar, you appeared to them as it is written in your Torah. And it was on the third day, as morning dawned, there was thunder and lightning, a dense cloud, the sound of the shofar. When we introduce the shofarot section on Rosh Hashanah, when we're sitting there and we're standing, getting ready for the final section of Musaf, when we talk about the shofar, the way we introduce it is saying the shofar reminds us of, Har Sinai. It reminds us of the giving of the Torah. And so maybe the reason they didn't blow shofar. Zagam said they blew shofar wasn't notable. Maybe they didn't need to blow shofar because the shofar, one of the 10 that Rav Sadia Gaon gave, one of the reasons we blow shofar is because were remembering Matan Torah, were remembering the Torah. They didn't even remember it. They were living it right then and there. That was it. That was Matan Torah for them. Ezra was literally re-giving the Torah to them at that moment. And that's why there was no shofar needed. So what can we take from that for Rosh Hashanah today? I think it's a reminder for us that yes, Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment. But it's also the day that we remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. It's the day, it's the moment that we remember when, as a nation, we came to recognize Hashem's power. We recognized God's control over the world, and we ultimately declared and accepted God's kingship over us. That was Ma'amad Har Sinai. We say, yes, we acknowledge, we recognize God. We're mamlichim. We recognize his royalty, we recognize his control. And that's one of the things when we're on Rosh Hashanah, that's another aspect. So we have three aspects here that we've come, that we see from Sefer Nehemiah that enhance our Rosh Hashanah this year in just a little over a week. Number one, why are they crying? They're crying because it's Yom HaDin, but they stop crying because they have confidence that even though it's Yom HaDin, even though it's the day of judgment, they have confidence and faith they're going to make it through successfully. Number two, why are they sending Mishloach Manot? It reminds us that Rosh Hashanah in 2021 is not just about me enjoying Rosh Hashanah for myself, but it's about what I can give to other people and benefit other people. And lastly, why was there no shofar in Sefer Nehemiah? The shofar represents Matan Torah, represents us acknowledging Hashem's rulership over the world and over us, and that we have a special relationship with God. And so we too, when we experience Rosh Hashanah, can have that in mind as well. When we hear the shofar, thinking about Ezra and Nehemiah, thinking about their lack of shofar, that we are recognizing God's kingship over the world and our relationship with him. And hopefully, now that we've read Tanakh's description of Rosh Hashanah, we can have a little richer of an experience of Rosh Hashanah in our year as well. We've got, I think, 2 minutes. I'm happy to entertain 45 seconds of questions. Otherwise, I'll let people take a brief break before the next shiur starts.
But getting back to Dr. Zakheim's point, wouldn't it be obvious that of course they would have blown shofar? I mean, it's so easy. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. I mean, he said, but just you'd think that of all the things, because we want it to, you know, we expect there to be shofar, you would think it would be there. I mean, you could be right. Okay, presumably they blew shofar, but I like Rabbi Form, the direction Rabbi Forman goes better. I think it gives a little richer to say, okay, no, they just ran the show. I don't know, but you're Chaim, I think you're right. Technically, you're right. It could be.
Shakoach.
Rechtia, thank you very much.
Jared, thank you so much. And thank you for making your inaugural Tishrei in a day shiur actually work out within the time frame. Bonus points for that one. And our next shiur up is by Idan Rakovsky, a new avreich with us. And I just posting the link to his source sheet in the chat.